It's good to see everybody with us today, and I'm so glad that you've come. And I know things is unusual, and it's a whole different time right now, but I'm glad that you come, and I hope that you're happy to be here today. But it is Easter Sunday, and hadn't the Lord blessed us with at least a little break in the rain today? Amen. I thank God for that, that He has gave us a little break in the rain, and I appreciate the Lord for doing that. And let me say, we pray that you'll stay safe. They are calling for some bad weather today, and so we want you to stay safe through all this, but we sure do appreciate the Lord. He's been kind to us. I want you to take your Bible, if you got your Bible with you today. And we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, better known as the resurrection chapter. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, he begins to deal and that with the gospel first. He deals with the gospel, and then he deals with the witness of the resurrection, and then for those who did not really believe in the resurrection. So before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to You today. We thank You for this wonderful day that You've given us. We thank You for Your dear people that has come today, the church. We thank You for the church that has come. And Lord, we understand that this is an unusual thing to do and in an unusual time. But Lord, we're just trying to carry out in that and preach the gospel of Your blessed Son today. And Lord, we do pray that if there's one that's under the sound of our voice, whether it's on the radio, whether it's in this community, that hears this message, that they would get saved today. And Lord, I pray that Your people would find strength in You. Lord, as we pray, we ask for unction from the Holy One, for we certainly need some help today. We can't preach this on our own. And Lord, we pray that You would help us. Thank You again, Lord, for these dear people that have come today. And Lord, just to hear Your word and the gospel preached. We love You and we thank You for all this in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. I was about to say, and the church blowed their horn. That would have been pretty good, wouldn't it? Amen. All right, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved." So we see that we're saved, and that by the gospel. He said, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And that's why we're here, is because He rose, and that the third day. "And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." Then skip down to verse 12, and then the Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead?" I'm glad that there is a resurrection. Amen. Not only in that of Christ Jesus the Lord, but in that of the ones that have went on before us. He said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Your faith is also vain." Now I want you to understand something. As Paul was writing all this right here, as he was dealing with the resurrection, he was dealing with the gospel. And by the way, the gospel contains the resurrection. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's dealing with some unbelievers that did not believe in the resurrection. And let me say that, first of all, before we could have a resurrection, we had to have a death. Now, ain't you glad today that Jesus died for you? I'm certainly glad that Jesus came. He lived and He died. You realize why He died? He died for you this morning. He died for me, for my sins. The Bible said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen, I'm glad that the Lord imputed our sin unto Him and imputed His righteousness and that to us. And just like that Passover lamb that had to be slaughtered down there in Egypt so that they could come out, ain't you glad today that Jesus went to Calvary so that me and you could be saved? Thank God for that today. And we're all sinners and had to have the sin debt and that paid. What was it? Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, the Bible said that He was delivered for our offenses, yet raised again sin for our justification. Thank God for that, for the shame and the suffering and the beating that the Lord Jesus went through. I'm so glad that I know Him. And let me say today that if you're saved because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the empty tomb, I'm going to deal with that here in a minute, the empty tomb that is in Jerusalem, because He got up, we have eternal life. If you've trusted Him and accepted Him, what was it over there in the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13? He said that you may know that you have eternal life. You go back to verse 11, you'll find out that He said that this life is in His Son. He said, if you have the Son, you have life. And He said, if you have not the Son of God, then you have not life. I'm glad today that I've got eternal life in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Listen, John 10 and 10, Jesus said, for the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Hey, I'm glad I've got abundant life in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to ask the question this morning, as the Apostle Paul began to lay out and add that everybody had seen the Lord. He said He was seen of Cephas, which was Peter, and of the 12, and above 500 brethren, and of James and the apostles, and of Him. But I want to know, how do we know that He lives? How do we know that He lives? We sung that old song this morning, He lives, He lives. And that's what I want to preach on. He lives and He lives. But how do we know that? Can I say that, number one, first of all, there were some witnesses that seen some things. Can I say that, first of all, as we go back and we look in Matthew chapter 28, you have the witnesses of the angels. Listen, you know, they stood down there when that little band of women come down there that morning. And thank God for a little band of women. I mean, it's always the women that was following the Lord, it seemed. You know, at Calvary, it's that little band of women that come down there and stood in the Apostle John and watched Him when everybody else forsook Him. But when they come down there that morning to that empty tomb, there stood those angels. And the Bible said, and the angel answered and said unto the women, I fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. No better words than to hear than He is not here. Listen, can I say this? That is the fundamental truth. Thank you, sis. She's got her big sign that says amen back there. That's the fundamental truth and the bedrock of what we believe today is the very fact that Jesus lives. Thank God for that. But you find the witnesses of the angels. They said, what, fear not, for you, and I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. That angel, listen, some 33 and a half years earlier, they stood out on the Judean hills, them shepherds did, and the heavens rolled back, and they declared that the Son of God, the very Messiah, had come to the earth, and they said, He's here, He's here. And then some 33 and a half years later, they're saying, He's not here. He's got up. Thank God for that. Amen. And He's alive. And the witness of the angel says so. In Luke chapter 24, it said, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but He's risen. Remember how He spake unto you while He was yet in Galilee. Our Savior is alive. The witness of the angel says so. But then we find the witness of the empty tomb. The witness of the empty tomb. What did they say? They come and said, I see the place where the Lord had lain. Listen, the empty tomb. Do you realize that over in Jerusalem today, there is an empty tomb somewhere over there that Jesus laid in, but He's not there now. Amen. Listen, that again, I go back, that is the very bedrock and the foundation of Christianity is Jesus is not there. John chapter 19, it says, now in the place where He's crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein a man was never yet laid. And they laid there they laid Jesus. And therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So where He got crucified at, there was a garden there, close to Golgotha, close to Calvary. And they took Him and they laid Him in that borrowed tomb and a new tomb. Now listen, do you realize that everybody else that declared to be a Savior is dead? You can go to their tomb somewhere. You can find their grave. And you can say, right here is where they lay at. But do you realize when you go to Jerusalem over there, you don't find a grave where Jesus is. You find where He was, but you don't find where He is today. Listen, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 28, that angel said again, He is not here, for He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Ain't you glad of that this morning? He's no longer there. Man, I'm telling you this morning, as the Lord gave us a break in the rain, and I thought the sun might come out, and we look at all the greenery, and it's springtime. There's no better time than that to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ when everything begins to live. Ain't that a wonderful thought of what Christ done for us? But He's not there. He's not there. When Mary come down there early in the morning, the Bible tells us in John chapter 20, she said she found the stone rolled away. And she come back to Peter and John and she said, somebody's took the body of the Lord Jesus. Somebody didn't take it. He just got up. That's all it was. In John chapter 10, he said over there, I have power to lay it down. If I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Give me an amen, sis. She's looking for it right now. There it is. I got some flashing lights. Amen. That's good. Somebody needs to help me there. Listen, in the garden is where sin began. But do you understand that in the garden is where our sin got ended at? Ain't that wonderful? You know, in the Garden of Eden, that's where Adam sinned. But in that garden over there where Jesus rose from, our sin got completed or got ended, if you'd let me say that. But then we find the witness of the Scripture. In John chapter 20, the Bible said, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So there's some Scripture out there that says he was going to rise from the dead. Scripture that says that. I begin to consider that and think about that. And in Luke chapter 24, most of you know the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus joined up with those disciples on the road to Emmaus. And as he began to talk to them, he began to ask them some questions about what was going on. And he said, are you just a stranger here in Jerusalem? Are you just a stranger and not heard what's going on about Jesus of Galilee, whom they've crucified? And then they said, and some of his disciples said they went this morning and didn't find him at the sepulchre. And as Jesus was walking with them, he said, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, can you imagine that message? I would have loved to have heard that message. Man, when he began to preach to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and we got more than two here this morning, and thank you for coming. Listen, as he was on the road to Emmaus, as he began to preach to them, no doubt he talked of his suffering and his betrayal and being forsook and the trial that he went through and all those things. And no doubt he talked about his death at Calvary and how that it was a vicarious death. In other words, he died for somebody else. But he talked about his resurrection. I began to consider that, and I thought about what Psalm 16 said, what the psalmist David said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So we find the witness of the Scriptures this morning tells us that he's alive. Not only the witness of the Old Testament, but as the church today, we have the witness of the New Testament. And listen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us of his life and of his death and of his resurrection. And then the book of Acts tells us of the Acts of the disciples that's still going on today. And then Romans, the Philemon, and the rest of the New Testament tells us how Christ wants us to live. He's alive. He's alive. We find the witness of the disciples. We find that Paul said that there was some there. Who was it? Cephas and then the 12 and the 500 brethren. He said James and the apostles. And he was seen of me also. He was seen of Mary standing at the tomb. He was seen of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He was seen of the disciples in the upper room. He was seen of the disciples when they went out fishing. You know, Peter said, I go a fishing. And all of a sudden they had fished all night, and he heard a voice from the shore over there said, children, have ye any meat? And they said, no. And he told them where they cast the net, and they drug so much in, they about didn't make it. But we have the witness of the disciples and those that follow Christ. So I ask you today, how do you know Jesus lives? We sang that old song on purpose today. I wanted to sing that old song. He lives, He lives. How do I know He lives? I know He lives because of everything that I've seen in Scripture, but I know He lives because He lives inside of me. He's inside of me. He lives. That's why I live today. Hey, listen, the Bible tells us that when we got saved, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 6, that as we die, then we begin to walk in newness of life. What was it that he told Martha over there at one point, I believe it was, when he was talking about the resurrection and that of Lazarus over there. He said, thy brother shall live again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall live again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though we were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that this morning? When I got saved, I got eternal life. 1 John 5, we go back to that again, verse 13, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, I'm walking in the newness of life according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 today. I hope that you have life inside of you. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Listen, what do other folks see in us? I look at this here and I see the witness and that of him being alive. But not everybody's going to look into the Scripture to see that he's alive. They're going to look at you. They're going to look at me. Do they see that Christ is alive in us today? Do they see that he's living today in us and through us? Listen today, the Bible said in 1 Peter 3, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of you a reason of the hope which is in you of meekness and fear. My hope is that he's alive and that I'm alive also in him. He said, you know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. There's some telltale signs that there's life in us today. So let me ask you, have you ever trusted in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? The very foundation of what we believe, the very foundation of why you're here today. If all you have is religion, it ain't going to help you. If all you have is religion, it ain't going to work for you. But I'm telling you, salvation will work for you. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you believe that Jesus lived and died and rose again for you? Amen. I believe that today. Do you believe that? That's what it takes to get saved. You got to believe that. You got to trust that. And you got to know that he'll save you if you'll ask him today. As I close, I thought of this scripture, Revelation chapter 1. As he was writing to John, John was going to get to see the end times. As he started writing in Revelation 1 and verse 18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He's going to live forever. And you know, as long as he's living, I'm living. That's why I know I have eternal life. It's in him. And he said, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Do you realize that he defeated Satan that day when he got out of the tomb? Satan thought that, I believe that Satan thought he had him. I really believe that today. But when he come busting out of that tomb, listen, he knew that he had won. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got victory. That means we've won today because he won. Ain't you glad to be on the winning side today? Amen, sis. Ain't you glad to be on the winning side? I'm glad to be on the winning side. I've got victory in him. Thank God for that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for your dear people that have come. Lord, I know this has been an unusual service and an unusual time in these days. But Lord, we're just trying to do what you'd have us to do, to preach the wonderful gospel on the day that we celebrate your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that there's witnesses of the very fact that you're alive. Thank you for that today. And I'm glad that witness is inside of me. Lord, I believe it's in most of these folk out here, if not all of them today. And thank you for that witness that you give us. Lord, I pray today that we'd be a good witness for you and tell folk what you've done for us so that we could get saved and so that they could get saved. Thank you for that today, Lord. I pray you'd go with us, keep us safe through this today, and we'll give you the glory for it all, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.